Welcome to another podcast, Pell Droid, number 24 in the series. I'm at Saith Seren, community-owned cooperative pub in Wrexham Town, hence a little bit of background noise. And I am with Mabon and Mark from the campaign behind the effort to establish a National Football Museum of Wales in Wrexham. Timely, given that two podcasts ago before Christmas, we met with Karen and Jonathan from the Wrexham County Borough Museum, where they've got the, again, I think the official sort of Welsh football collection. So we're talking football again, we're talking museums again, we're talking Wrexham again. Mabon has kindly written a blog that's got details of where people can support the campaign, learn a little bit more about it on the Facebook page. What else, though, gentlemen, should people know about it? Anything we can do to raise awareness of this, it's a terrific cause, we'd be happy to do. So, Mabon.
Yeah, it's an idea that developed organically, I think, talking around the table, you know, Mark has been a long-standing football fan, long-suffering football fan with Wales. And I did a lot of history and studied history in university. And when you look at the historic provision in Wales, we know we celebrate a lot of our background, our history and our culture. But the one thing that's obviously missing from everything that we've got here and all the celebration of our culture we've got is there's nothing to celebrate sport or Welsh football. You know, Welsh football is probably the national game here. There's nothing there to say, you know, what's the history of the game, the role it played during the growth of Wales over the last 150 years. And, you know, in that period, when since the FAW was probably formed here in Wrexham back in the late 19th century, Wales has gone through a phenomenal change. You know, people of Wales have seen a huge growth in the population, change in culture, change in all sorts of things, and there's nothing there to record that. And that's what sort of sparked it for me, is wanted to see something to say, well, football has played such an important part in the community here and across Wales, and we need to celebrate it and recognise it.
I think Wrexham is known throughout Europe, throughout the world, you know, for its football. You know, people will have seen the name, even though we're out of the league now, have been for 8 years, but I think people recognise that name. And you know, we've used the hashtag bring your football home. We want to bring that identity back. You know, although Wales obviously play in Cardiff now, this is no longer a current full international ground, hasn't been for a long time, but the potential is still there. We've got fantastic traditions here. As Mabon said, it was the FAW was launched here. It's the oldest remaining ground still standing for internationals. You know, there's a tremendous history, and I think there's a lot of pride here as well. And of course, what we wanted to do as well was to emphasise, well, every other part of Wales has got a national museum of something or other, whether it's wool or slate or maritime museum or whatever. And North East, which I think is an important part of Wales, doesn't have that, and it's important that we have that as part of that recognition factor, I suppose, you know?
Yeah, and it's interesting for me personally, because as you might be able to see or hear from my accent, I'm not from North East Wales, I'm from South West Wales, and football hasn't played a huge part in my life up until I've come to live in North East Wales. And coming up here, you recognise, and you, soon, pretty soon, that it's central to everything, culturally, sport-wise, in the area. Everybody knows of Mark Hughes, everybody knows of Billy Meredith, everybody knows of these huge characters from the Wrexham area, and the history of clubs like Cairn Druids, Chirk Athletic. Huge part. It's such an important role in the area. And there's nothing there to celebrate it. There's nothing there to say, look, these people. And museums, the role of a museum is about people, the role that those people have played in the growth of their communities. There's nothing there to recognise that. And I think it deserves it. And surely now with Wales having qualified for France, it's a good time to have something to celebrate the role of the game.
What struck me as well, I went to the National Football Museum in Manchester, but it struck me, when you're looking at it from a Welsh perspective, how much there is about Welsh players. Billy Meredith, the Hall of Fame has got Welsh players in it. this is a national football museum. And you're thinking, you know, because Billy Moretti was an iconic figure in UK football, world football, you could argue. Mm-hmm. Players' Union, you know, played for Man City and Man United, you know, as well as for Wales. You know, a really iconic figure. And he's the sort of guy you'd want to sort of base your history around, because although a museum by its nature sort of tends to suggest the past, I think this is all about the future, really. Mm-hmm. It's about making Wrexham somewhere that people want to come to for a reason, or some people have pride in for a reason. That's what this is all about, you know. And I think this is perhaps more about the town than the football, in a way, you know. But the town and the football and the lager are so intertwined, it's difficult to separate them sometimes.
As I can recall from a couple of visits to games here, exactly. and it's right what you say. I mean, I think it is. It's sad that there aren't games here. I'm on record, and others involved in the podcast are on record as saying that it would be great if there could be games at the racecourse.
Yeah.
You know, even if it was a friendly, every now and again.
Yeah.
I think, to be fair, I'm not wanting to sort of pitch different parts of Wales against one another, I think the Cardiff City Stadium has turned into a home ground, a bit of a fortress. That was proved in the Belgium game.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't ever be the only venue that only ever holds games, or should ever hold games into the future. You know, we've had blogs, we've discussed about, you know, the merits of going back to the millennium as well. Putting all those to one side, I think because of the history that you've sort of very eloquently sort of explained with respect to not only the national team, but the institutions around it in terms of the FA, the old clubs, that there is more of a bond between the national team and this town.
Yeah.
Arguably the region, but certainly the town, than there is perhaps with other parts of Wales.
Arguably, Wales as a nation didn't exist at the end of the 19th century. Mm. There weren't any national institutions.
No.
You know, it was 1890s before we had the University of Wales.
Yeah, yeah.
All these national institutions didn't develop until the 1890s or 1900s. The first national institution, arguably, was the FAW.
Yeah.
That recognised Wales as a whole, and that was found here,
yeah.
In Wrexham.
Yeah.
I think Pete Jones told us it was called the Cambria Football Association originally, but it was formed in Wednesday. So, you know,
but to a certain extent, it was formed here because there were successful club sides had already been established.
It was that organic growth, wasn't it?
Yeah. We look at exhibitions that the county, the local museum here have held, are sort of heroes of the racecourse. They've got the Welsh football collection. There's clearly sort of, I suppose, from a very technical sort of museum archivist sort of point of view as well, there's also probably expertise around, you know, how you keep, store, preserve, exhibit, how you engage with people and communities and all that stuff as well.
I think the frustration probably from the council's point of view who own the museum is they've acquired this big collection. And they've put bits of it on show, but so much of it isn't on show.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, you know, it's crying out.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a town museum, which, you know, wants to show off all aspects of the town. You really want this to be this defining aspect of it, you know, and it deserves a building of its own. I really do think, and, you know, certainly in Scotland, they've got it tied in with the Hampden Park as a visitor attraction, if you like, you know. And I think we can do that here as well. The town is small enough.
So the Scottish one is in Glasgow.
Yeah.
So what if someone's to say, well, okay, I can see the emotional and the cultural and the sort of maybe regional, political, geopolitical kind of aspect, but you're going to get more footfall if it goes to Cardiff or Newport.
Yeah,
or
that's an argument. So, we're in everything. Every time. I mean, there was people moaning that the Maritime Museum moved to Swansea, you know, because Cardiff's a big maritime place.
Yeah.
You know, you can make that case with everything.
The National Library is in Aberystwyth, and it's a library, and it's a national institution, but it's way out of the capital city. Wales is more than Cardiff. And, you know, we've got to celebrate the whole of Wales.
Mm.
But, you know, if we were to pull this off, and I'm hopeful that people will come on board. And the more of the general public that come on board and support it, you know, they can go to our Twitter feed, hashtag Bring Football Home. We've got a Facebook page. If you just look for National Football Museum for Wales, you can access it. There's a petition there and everything. the more people who come on board and support it, and if we do realise this, then I'd like to see it, you know, established in Wrexham, but also go out of Wrexham, you know, and visit two communities across Wales, but that its home is in the town here.
But Glasgow's not the capital of Scotland.
No,
we said that the
Manchester's not the capital of England,
yeah. And theirs is there. So, by that logic, you know, alone, it needn't be, you know, in the capital city. We had a few comments off Twitter when we made available the podcast around the football collection at Wrexham Museum. A couple of people sort of saying, well, you know, I didn't know it was there.
You know, exactly.
And these are people who live relatively local.
Yeah. This is the point, really, isn't it?
And, you know, again, there's no games scheduled here. But there may well be people, and I know people, who will do sort of ground hopping, and will people they know through watching Wales, home and away, will come visit Wrexham. Yeah, they'll take in a Wrexham game, catch up with people from, you know, people from the south, catch up with sort of friends in the north. And there's some little pads a day out it. Breaks the drinking up for an hour or so, if nothing else. But it would make a terrific day out if you were coming in and take a game, to have a wander around a fully sort of dedicated, established museum with all of that history. And it's not just about the John Charles telegrams and the Billy Meredith caps. It's some of the other stuff that comes with that as well, the bits that you didn't know about. And then I suppose, and I've not done the England one, or the Scotland one for that matter, but I imagine there's probably bits of social history in there. There's stuff about the war, there'll be stuff on all those other things. You think, actually, football is really important to communities and to a lot of people. Sport is to working class communities, you know, across the piece, generally speaking. So it's not just, let's put some shirts on show, let's put a few pennants on show, or, you know, there's a lot more to it than that.
To be fair, I that's what impressed me most about the England one, was that there was a lot of that social history. Talk about the fans. The fans were quite central to it, even down to the football hooligans of the 70s, or and going back to the 50s and 60s So it was quite interesting in that sense. You know, you didn't have to be an anorak to really get it. And of course, and you know, because museums now, they're not dry, dusty old places. They're full of interactive things. There was an exhibition on when I was there about football video games, you know, and how they'd evolved over the last 10-20 years, and you know, that's going to be hugely attractive to a younger generation who might not go to museums. And what you said about working class communities, you can imagine taking your dad, your granddad, whatever, to see an exhibition, and he can reminisce. And it, you know, and it comes alive. And these are people who might not go to a formal museum, or be attracted. You know, so it's got huge attraction, I think. You know,
think about that social background. You know, how did sport and football in particular become so popular in the period it did? You know, the trade unions managed to win the rights for working people to get weekends in order, and during those weekends they would play these games. You think about the growth of women's liberation. And from that period, 1920s, we're still fighting today, and only today we're starting to see the women's football game starting to break through. You know, that's got such a history to it, and it needs to be looked at. The rights of women, the ability of women to participate in popular sport. These are all stories, social stories, the story of us people in Wales, which needs to be said and spoken to and retold, and this can be said in football museum in Wrexham.
There's a terrific book by Kerry Stennett that looks at the history of the schools FA and the schools team in Wales. It goes back, you know, donkey's years, and I think I'm right in saying it was actually because there was one in England, they sort of said, we want fixtures, can you form one? And people in Wales went, well, well, not really, sort of, but, and I think there's a little bit of North Wales saying, well, we'll have one, and then South Wales went, no, we should. And it's not just about the John Charleses and the Billy Merediths and the John Toshacks and the Gareth Bales. It's about the women's game, it's about the schools game, it's about the amateur, the semi-pro game as well, I suppose. And it's keeping it, documenting it, and raising it, in the awareness of it in consciousness. We've put a couple of blogs up, and we've discussed about how football is, the Welsh football team is suddenly becoming a bit more mainstream. It's not having to fight so much to get sort of media profile. You know, social media helps, certainly the internet, digital technologies help, but it's not this thing that kind of just gets maybe, you know, 10 minutes of highlights on a, you know, sports scene Wednesday night in the late 80s when there's a game. You know, it's much more in people's sort of consciousness now. And you know, I don't know, maybe the fight isn't as harder for to establish this than it might have been.
I think the principle of it is pretty sound, you know, and I think people would support it. What we need to do is convince people that the funding needs to be there, and also convince people that it's Wrexham, which is the natural home for the museum.
I think we're very lucky, you know, the football club's on board, the supporters trust is on board, you know, they want to see it happen for obvious reasons. The council is on board, which is good. We need other players, if you like, stakeholders is the term, to come on board. And I think, you know, that will take a bit of time. You know, there's a lot of work to be done. But when you think that the English Museum got £8 million in lottery funding, that's lottery funding that we've paid into, I don't think it's a big ask to say, well, we want a slice of that action. We'd like to see, you know, whether it's a purpose-built or using an existing building. I don't care where it is in Wrexham, but it can be in Wrexham. It can be a huge asset to the football club, you know, and it's a football club that deserves a bit of an asset, to be honest with you.
And the English Football Museum, if you believe their hype, attracted 100,000 visitors in the first 6 weeks alone. That's the kind of attraction football has, and football is an international brand. You know, I don't know how many times I've been on holiday and people asking me in Greece or whatever, where are you from? I'm trying to say Wales, and well, where's Wales? Where's that? And you say Gareth Bale, Brian Giggs, John Charles. Oh, I know. You know, it's a huge brand there.
I remember teaching at summer school when I was a student working in Reading. Wales was pretty much unknown to all of them, except for two words. And at that point, this is sort of mid to late 90s, Brian Giggs.
Yeah.
You only know Wales because of a very successful, popular Manchester United footballer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a fact of life. You know, you're not saying, well, at that time, it would be, they weren't saying Ian Evans or Gareth Thomas.
And they never will unless they happen to come from South Africa or Australia or whatever.
And it's a strong brand. It's not like you're trying to establish something new here. Yeah, the brand is there.
And we're about to go up a level that I don't think we've got any idea about. I mean, back in 2006, I went to Germany for the World Cup to follow Trinidad.
Which is, as you do.
Which is perfectly logical because we had Dennis Lawrence, he was a Trinidadian international, but also played for Wrexham itself. So Wrexham became an official Trinidad country supporter, whatever. And I think that opened my eyes because Trinidad's a country about 1.25 million people. What it meant for them was just huge. Yeah. You know, I mean, you imagine what it meant for them, the smallest country ever to qualify for the World Cup. They went bonkers, you know. I think that, you know, that has kept with me. It's 10 years down the line. Stayed with me. The impact of that and the way that Welsh fans came on board, Scottish fans came on board. You know, I saw people in kilts and Trinidadian shirts. You name it, you know, anything for the crack.
Yeah.
But it really stayed with me, and I think we can make an impact that we haven't really cottoned on to. We're going there for ourselves, but actually we're going on to this massive world stage, and we're going to have such an impact, hopefully beyond the first three games.
Obviously, goes without saying. No, I think you're right, and again, I think that's the point I'm trying to make, that brand. I think you hit on it. You know, we talk about sort of, you know, more awareness, more consciousness. There's something a little bit more tangible about it, and it goes beyond just having Gareth Bale.
Yeah,
you know, it's not just having a talisman, because we had that with Giggs.
Yeah,
you know, and okay, the media's different now. I mean, you know, it's 20 years ago. It's more than just that one player and the club he plays for, as well. To be fair, it's having several good players, but it's being able to rub shoulders with those nations at, you know, what is a huge, huge tournament. You know, it's a huge spectacle. It's a huge platform. I don't know where it ranks, but I mean, even European Championships is probably up there in terms of sort of global spectators and sort of sponsorship turnover and all that sort of stuff. Let's be honest, it's a decent payout for the FAW just by getting there, let alone, you know, and if, probably a bit more if they, you know, do well in the first three games as well. So, no, I think you're absolutely right. I don't think any of us truly know. No. This is one or two around in 1958 who went. I don't even remember. But I don't know.
But then the game was different as well.
It was a different platform,
wasn't
it?
Would have been all on the radio with microphones not too dissimilar to this.
No.
That's the reality. You're absolutely right. We have no idea kind of
what's... Oh, I did, I, that's, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
You do. Yeah.
Because of that Trinidadian thing, you know, and there was a gang of Wrexham fans who went out there. You get caught up in the excitement of it, you know, in the fan zones, you know, the dare I say, drinking zones. Yeah. And you just realise, oh, wouldn't it be fantastic to be there?
Yeah.
And the very fact that you can say, oh, my God, we are going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to come back from that on such a high.
Yeah. But, and from the historic point of view, it's creating history, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to see communities come together,
right.
Celebrate together, people joining like never before, you know? Not this glum, oh, you know, what coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's going to be an absolute joy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, exactly. This next chapter of our history is being written. So there's a panel and there's a section of the museum which should be reserved for Euro 2016. Mm.
And I know that the museum here has got plans to do something along the lines of the football, but I suppose the reality is, and this isn't a criticism, it's just a fact of life, it's the constraints that come with the building and, I know, for all I know, budget and everything else, that something else will have to be displaced to accommodate that. And there's, whether that's, you know, Brumbo Man or stuff around about, you know, the history of the town and the county borough, or it's some of the Roman stuff, or you know, whatever
you,
it might be.
If you limit it to each colour place,
And that's the reality. And I suppose to a certain extent what we're saying is, well, there ought to be enough room to accommodate much of it. Not everything all of the time, because museums don't operate on that basis. So in the same way when we discussed in the last podcast around the Yorath years, and we just pondered, had we qualified for the USA 94, had Bowden scored that penalty, would we have qualified subsequently? Maybe not, because Bobby Gould happened, but we'd have had that know-how.
We wouldn't have had Bobby Gould, would we?
We wouldn't have had Bobby Gould, but we'd have had that know-how against Russia.
True.
I think more than the know-how, I think obviously you've got the seedings, you've got perhaps a more professional ethos. I mean, I think football, the Welsh football setup has changed so dramatically over the past 10 years.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And whether that was, you know, whether it's speed, whether it's, you know, the professionalism of the FAW improving, whether it's just a combination of getting the right players in the right...
There's a cohesiveness at grassroots with the Football Trust.
Yes.
You know, you've got a fantastic sort of pathway system. It's about elite. It's about pushing elite. I think rugby could go a long way to copy, but certainly look at how it's done.
And the coaching now.
Because we're coaching.
We're
sporting coaches.
When you've got world-class people coming to Wales to train to be coaches... There's something went on there, isn't
there? What I love about that is you've got the Patrick Vieiras and the Thierry Henrys sitting in a sort of like a seminar alongside
Osher Roberts.
But not only that, it's like, you know, the youth
coach.
He's
a world-class
youth coach from, I don't know, Denby Town or from, you know.
Yeah. It's rubbing off, isn't it?
So there's almost like this sort of, dare I say that, that's, I think that is a bit of a Welsh trait. It sort of says, actually, it's a bit more egalitarian. You're all in here to achieve the same thing.
Yes, exactly.
Don't care who you are outside or how good you are, how many keepy-uppies you can do or whatever, that when you're in here to learn... From, by all accounts, is a phenomenally gifted teacher and coach in Osher Roberts.
Mm.
Then take your seat and just, you know, do what everyone else has to do to get through the course. That's fantastic.
Which reflects, goes back to this point about a museum being about people, which reflects the people of Wales and its history and the trajectory that the nation is going. You know, it reflects everything about us as a people.
Yeah, this is a confidence thing, I think, as much as anything. You know, you talked very early on about the FAW be the first national institution. Well, you know, we are becoming a nation, you know, slowly, you know, snail's pace, and maybe having that sort of platform we're talking about in June, you know, it sounds trite, but do you know what? Maybe that contributes to that growing confidence. I mean, and you need those building blocks like museums to make that happen, make it a reality, you know, because these are the, you know, imagined communities is what they call it, you know, and if you imagine long enough, it turns into reality.
And it was not until I read the blog when you sent it through and said, go and have a look at it on the website, it's a terrific piece of writing, that I first kind of realised, and I'm kind of a bit annoyed and embarrassed that I hadn't noticed before, that in the Northeast, there are no institutions related to the National Museum, the galleries and things.
No.
You know, it's in the three corners. It's not in the fourth corner.
There's no national establishment or institution here at all.
No, and I'm kind of ashamed to say that I hadn't kind of picked up on that. I think that's a point that is worth articulating, frankly. I'm not saying that that's justification in and of itself, but I think it's certainly a point that's worth noting. I'm sure I probably won't be alone in people going, well, do you know what, I think you're right there, actually, you know, I hadn't noticed. So you mentioned earlier the Facebook page.
At Cartref Peldroed is the handle on Twitter, or hashtag bring football home.
Fully bilingual, people can communicate in Welsh or English. Yeah. So go along to that. You said there's a petition there, people can articulate their thoughts and
yes, we've got a
support
petition
the campaign.
Pinned to the Twitter feed and pinned on the Facebook page as well. If you just look for National Football Museum for Wales on Facebook, there's a group, I think it is, there as well.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that, we want marches, we want banners, we
bring
want
it on.
Well, you know, anything that people can think of to bring
any
it happen.
Ideas, bring them.
I'll put my cards on the table. I can't think of anywhere else that it should be. And, you know, my Wrexham wife would lynch me if I said otherwise. Not that she's interested in football at all, actually. But I cannot encourage you enough and others involved in the campaign. Best of luck with it. If there's anything else that we can do via the blog, via the podcast, or anything like that, then just sort of let us know. We've shared the links. And yeah, we'd love to keep in touch and hear from you. And as and when the stakeholders was the technical term we used, Mark, as they're being sort of tapped up and persuaded and controlled, and however these things work, I sense we haven't used the word politics yet. I sense there's a little bit of that in there as well. Let's not go there just yet.
Wait till May.
Yeah. Okay.
After
and,
May.
I'll have to take this down during the purdah period, won't I? But anyway, so yeah, once again, best of luck with it all. Hope it comes to fruition, and I'm sure I'm not alone in wanting to know how it's going. And love to sort of catch up with you again.
Come back and see where we are.
We'd love to.
Keep in touch. Contact us and share your ideas, because you know, the more people who join us, the more chance we've got of realising it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Diolch yn fawr iawn hefyd to Saiseren. If you're in Wrexham, going off topic slightly, nothing to do with football, but in Wrexham, it's a cracking little pub. Loads of Welsh real ales, ciders, you know, local produce. Yeah, you can't go wrong. So I encourage you to come here as well. Thanks for them for giving us some space and turning the music off. And I can't wait to bring another podcast back.